Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is Josh Gottbaum, Executive Associate Director and Controller, Office of Management and Budget. Well, in this last segment, let's look ahead to the future. And part of the future is technology. And technology has become an increasing part and importance to the success of all government agency. What's OMB doing to ensure the increased use of technologies is taken advantage of?
A lot of things. First of all, we have said that in order to take best advantage of technology, you ought to follow the kinds of capital planning processes that are used outside the government, inside the government. This is something that was done by former OMB Director Frank Raines in what's now known throughout the government as Raines Rules. He said, think commercial, think modular, et cetera. Just like that. Congress helped with the Clinger-Cohn Act, whose formal name is some long thing that comes out to Itamara, and said, yes, you should use technology, but you ought to plan it out in advance. You ought to rely where possible on commercial applications. You ought to do your business planning first and your architecture second and your procurement third, you know, things which are basic planning. What we in OMB do, again, is this combination of providing guidance to agencies, saying that as you do capital planning, you need to let us know that you have followed Raines Rules. You need to have a capital plan. You need to have thought through these questions of architecture. And then we say to the agencies, if you do this and you propose funding for these systems, we'll support it. Because that's really where the marriage of management and budget comes to fruition. For example, as I say, we met today with the Treasury Department on their financial management issues, and one of the long-standing difficulties has been the Customs Service, which is in desperate need of modernizing its systems and which has been unable to do so, both to figure out a design that worked and to get congressional buy-in. What we've done is we've worked with them in developing a plan that makes sense and involves consultation with all of their constituencies, and then gone to the Congress and said, it really matters. You got to fund it.
Is using new technology just buying hardware and software?
Would that it were that simple. Of course, there are plenty of people who view technology as an excuse to do the same old thing faster using silicon instead of paper. But we don't think so. We don't think that's how it should be. And so one of the things we do as part of this process is to say, have you rethought your processes? And we do this in a number of forms. For example, the president last week announced the creation of FirstGov, a search engine for all of the government web pages. But there was more than just a search engine there. Among the things that we are trying to do is to give people a single point of access to all the grant programs in the federal government, to give people a single point of access to procurement programs. What will flow from that naturally, not easily, but naturally, is that they will begin to do comparisons about the processes that they have, the procedures they have, et cetera. When you're all tied to one website, when 15 grant programs are tied to one website, it's harder to explain why it is they need 15 different forms. And so there will be a natural pressure that we hope to take advantage of to streamline the processes of government afterwards.
Is this e-government? Is this what we're talking about? We're talking e-government?
This is a part of e-government. But I think of e-government as taking advantage of the electronic revolution and all the processes of government, whether they are a trucking company applying to the Department of Transportation for a trucking license online, paying for it with a credit card, getting the verification electronically and the receipt in the mail, which they can do today, thanks to the Department of Transportation's adoption of a new software, or the Social Security Administration saying you can check your records electronically, whether it's by telephone, a form of electronic communication, or online, or the Internal Revenue Service, which now has literally tens of millions of people who are doing business with them electronically. So this is more than just eliminating paper. It's providing connection and access It's providing education and communication in ways that we weren't able to do before. One of the things that we're working on right now is that each year federal agencies turn out, on paper, inventories of positions that might be potentially commercial. And we publish it in the Federal Register. Well, this year we're going to do more. This year we're going to put it on a website. We're going to put links to the agency websites so that someone can, without having to wade through 9 inches of the Federal Register, figure out what's going on in each agency that he or she cares about. So we think there are a myriad of opportunities there.
We hear a lot today about the forthcoming retirement wave and the difficulty of attracting people to government when unemployment, the unemployment rate's so low. How does OMB deal with these recruiting challenges?
OMB is fortunately the recipient of the best and the brightest coming out of colleges and graduate schools. It is no different than PwC or Lazard Frere or whatever, in the sense that we get fantastic individuals. We work them very hard. We recognize the fact that many of them will move on after 3 years or 5 years, et cetera, and a few will stay and become members of management. That's a model that we can use, and we benefit from it. It's obviously not a model which applies to all of government. And so we really do think there is an issue for government longer term, and that there are some bills that need to be paid. Now, over the course of the past decade, we have been working and providing increased flexibility in personnel. But one of the things we've discovered is that you can lead a personnel officer to water, but you can't make him drink. And so, just to give you one little for instance, recently there were some fires. There have been very extensive wildfires in the West. And it turned out that one of the problems was that there was a provision in the law that said that although you could pay overtime to someone who left their job to supervise firefighters, you couldn't pay them more than a certain level. And so in some cases, we had people who were taking a pay cut to go out and help supervise firefighters. It was outrageous. And what we discovered is that it didn't have to be that way, that agencies had the authority to pay bonuses that could make up the difference. But it hadn't occurred to them to use it. And when we said, why don't you use your bonus authority, there was some resistance. This was new. So one issue we find is that we've got to encourage people to use the flexibility we have. But after that, and this is one of, I think, will be the real challenges of the coming decade, I think we need to recognize the fact that as the economy grows, and we are the beneficiaries of a wonderful economy, as people make more outside the government, unless we find ways to compensate people within the government, we're going to stop getting the best and the brightest. And so one of the issues that Bob Rubin, when he was Secretary of the Treasury, always said is, you got to pay attention, in addition to initiatives, to the core functions of government. And from my perspective, one of the issues long term that we need to do now that we have a surplus and we can think about investing for the future and paying down the national debt is we need to recognize the fact that part of that core is the human capital and the talent of the people we have, and that their compensation and their working conditions need to be competitive with PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Or the .coms.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're out of time, so I've enjoyed our conversation very much. Thank you for making so much time available to
us. Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks very much.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. To learn more about the endowment's programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.